perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect.
Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the program. I am Bill Snyder, and today my guest is Tony Agnese. He is a inspirational storyteller, author, and blogger. His Sunday blog and Wednesday podcast have an international audience. In 2015, Tony was a finalist in the 15th annual Weblog Awards, the Bloggies. His blog ranked in the top three internationally in the religion and spirituality category, and he is a member of the Radio and Television Hall of Fame. Tony is a member of the Catholic Writers Guild and is a frequent contributor to Shalom Tidings magazine. He is a frequent guest on Catholic Radio. Tony and Diane, his wife of 44 years, lives in Wadsworth, Ohio, and they have two adult sons, a beautiful daughter-in-law, two grandsons, Nico and Luca, and they love their lives. So, Tony, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for joining me today on Young Catholics Respond.
Bill, it's a pleasure being with you. I'm a fan of Patchwork Heart, and it's just exciting to spend some time with you and your listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Tony, you are so accomplished. Tell me just a little bit about how you got started in, you know, writing and doing all of your ministry.
Well, it's kind of an interesting story because I am not the brightest guy. One of those C-minus students voted most likely to be shot in a drive-by in high school. So I'm not the genius type of guy. And my first assignment in college, my first writing assignment, came back to me, and it was an F. And the professor said, "You'll never write above a sixth grade level." And it kind of really stilted me. And I've always been a storyteller. I come from a family of storytellers. My grandmother was a storyteller. My mom was a storyteller. And I've had a long, wonderful broadcast career by being able to share stories. You know, someone else was a storyteller as well. Jesus shared stories through the parables. And the neat thing about parables is because the story is memorable, we also remember the lesson in the parable. So I didn't do any writing. I just told stories. And over the years, people said, Tony, you got to write some of these things down. You've got to write some of these things down. So in 2012, I started writing some of these stories. They're 700-word stories, 750-word stories. Everyone is attached to Scripture, and then they all have some ideas at the end for some things you can reflect on. And I had written about a half a dozen of them. I gave them to a college professor friend of mine and said, "Could you read these over?" And she said, "Sure." Retired professor. She read them over, and I said, "What do you think?" And she said, "Oh, they're wonderful stories, Tony." And I said, "Well, more importantly, what level do you think I write at?" And she said, "About the seventh grade level." So in 40 years, I'm up a grade, Bill.
Amen. That's awesome.
Since then, I've written about 270 stories, the first 72 of which are in my book, A Storyteller's Guide to a Grace-Filled Life. And in that book, we talk about family, and we talk about the virtues. We talk about how grace comes to us at the holidays. The second book is, there are 68 stories in my second book. And the reason I'm mentioning it is it was just finalized last night. And with a little proofreading, it will be published August 1st. And it's the book that kind of I would like to spend some time talking about because it relates to Patchwork Heart as well. But the book is entitled A Storyteller's Guide to Joyful Service, Turning Your Misery into Ministry. And what I've found over the years, Bill, is that when people take their problem, their affliction, their situation that is causing them the most misery, the Lord has a way of taking that and turning it into ministry. Now, you've done that with the heart surgeries and so forth, and what you managed to pull together in your ministry. The parents of an autistic child tend to be the people raising money for autism, huh? The guy giving a homeless man a pair of boots on the bridge was homeless once himself. The family who brings food at the holidays to a family who maybe can't afford a Christmas meal. They had someone bring food to them at one time. And so that's how the Lord uses us. He uses us, and he uses our misery to turn those things into a way of service. And my book talks about joyful service, and we get a great deal of joy out of serving others by taking what, you know, been there, done that, and turning it into a ministry to help others.
It is so true, and it's at the core, as you mentioned, of Patchwork Heart Ministry, Tony. But I want to kind of ask you, because the book is going to be super neat, I think, for a lot of people out there, a lot of young people as well. But I want to ask you, what's your favorite story from the book, if you don't mind giving us a little tease? You know, not a full spoiler, but just a little tease of it.
Well, my favorite stories, it's kind of two stories that I have to weave together, and the outcome of both of the stories is both a lesson and a cure. Years ago, about 14 years ago, I was diagnosed with colon cancer, and you know, that's a tough situation. You go, you have a colonoscopy when you reach the age of 50, and a lot of younger guys ought to do it sooner, but you know, the doctor said, the doctor's office called and says, "Can you come and talk to the doctor?" "When?" "Now, and bring your wife." Well, you know, that's not good news. And so I was diagnosed with colon cancer, and all of the anxiety and all of those things that well up in your mind as I drive home. When I got home that day, Bill, there was an email, and the email was entitled "The Seven Great Prayers." And it said, "I'm going to send you one of these prayers every day." I did not know the guy who sent them, but I read the first prayer. And the first prayer was, "Thank you, God, for ... And I sat down and I prayed, "Thank you, God, for an early diagnosis. Thank you, God, for a doctor who is going to be there for me, for a beautiful medical staff. Thank you for a wife who will support me through all of this." And 90 minutes later, Bill, I was still saying thank yous. Wow. And when I quit that prayer of thanks to God, I never worried about the cancer diagnosis again. And, you know, after surgery and all of that, I have been cancer-free now for 13 years. One of the things that came as a result of that was a year later, I was diagnosed with hepatitis C. Now, that's a disease that that comes from bad needle use from drug addicts and so forth. It comes from bad transfusions that may have taken place years ago and so forth. We didn't know where mine came from. It could have been something I had carried around for years. A lot of my generation have been diagnosed with Hep C, but at any point I had it. And I was fortunate enough to be able to go to one of the best Hep C doctors in America up in Cleveland. And my particular gene type is the one that reacts the worst to the drugs and therapy, which was an interferon kind of a chemotherapy. And I asked the doctor what he thought I should do. And he said, "Let's wait. There's some drugs on the horizon, some things that might help." A couple of years ago, if you remember the TV commercials for Harvoni.
Yeah.
And when Harvoni came out, I was a perfect candidate for Harvoni. As a matter of fact, in my gene type, it had about a 99-point-something cure rate. And I was a candidate for it. So we applied through my insurance company for Harvoni, and it was turned down. And we applied a second time, and it was immediately turned down again. And then the doctor's office helped me to do some additional testing. We did all sorts of questionnaires and testing. We resubmitted it a third time, and again, it was turned down. And one of the women that worked for the doctor, she was so dead set that we were going to make this happen. And we did some other things, and she applied one more time. And on January 2nd of 2015, I received word from the insurance company that I was approved for Harvoni. Now, Harvoni, Bill, costs $93,000. It's a pill a day for 12 weeks. So your 90 pills are $1,100 a piece. And they would cover 80%. So I was on the hook for $18,000. And my wife and I were prepared that we may have to spend that amount of money out of pocket. And The doctor's office called again. The persistent woman in the doctor's office said, I want you to call this woman at the manufacturer of the drug. And I did, and they had a thing going on where if I would allow them to use all of my information, not my name, but all of my reports and so forth, they would pay everything except $38. And I wrote that check very, very quickly, Bill, for $38. And then I started on Harvoni. About 4 weeks into Harvoni, we did a blood test, and the hepatitis C appeared to be gone after the 12 weeks. It was gone, and the doctor said, we wait 3 months. This would put it to June, and we'll do additional blood work, and if it's still gone, we consider you cured. And I remember going to the doctor's office. It was about an hour drive to get there, and I sat in the little the little exam room, waiting for him to come in, and was essentially just praying the rosary and waiting. And he walked in. Guy doesn't have much of a bedside manner, and he leaned up against the counter and he said, Tony, you're a busy guy and I'm a busy guy, you're cured. And he left. And I sat there in tears. And for the hour I drove from the doctor's office to my office, I cried all the way. I thank God all the way. I repeated those thank you God for prayers. And as I got off the exit to go to my office, there's a drugstore straight ahead, and I saw a man who appeared to be homeless. He was sitting on the sidewalk, slumped down, leaned up against the wall of the drugstore. And there was this nudge from our Lord to go talk with him. And so I pulled off the road and wiped my tears and went up to the man and said, are you okay? And he said, no, I'm not. And I said, what's wrong? He says, I have a prescription that needs to be filled, and I don't have the money to do it, and I have no one who will loan me the money. I've tried to beg for the money, and I can't get the money. And I said, do you have the prescription with you? He said, yes, I do. And he handed it to me, and I said, come on. And I helped him to his feet, and I walked him into the drugstore, Bill, and I paid for his prescription. And his prescription was $38, the exact amount that I had paid for $93,000 worth of medicine. Now, here I was, because I had insurance, because I had a job, because I had one of the best Hep C doctors in America, because I had his office working on my behalf, I was able to be cured. And then here's a homeless man whose life was in jeopardy because he couldn't get his heart meds that were $38. And I don't think it was a coincidence that it was the exact amount that I paid.
No.
And from that point on, I began working with the homeless, and have dedicated a great amount of time to working with homeless folks.
Yeah, Tony, that's an incredible story, and you are an amazing storyteller. I can't wait to hear more on the other side of the break. It's amazing how fast time flies when you're listening to great stories like you're able to tell. So have to take a short break. We'll hear more from Tony Agnese on the other side of it. I am Bill Snyder. This is Young Catholics Respond. Right back after this.
Our Blessed Mother wants only the best for her children and has given us a special place where she promises to help all those who appeal to her motherly love and protection. Telling Saint Juan Diego that here I will alleviate the sufferings of all those who love me and seek my protection. That holy place is now the site of the beautiful Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. If you would like to learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information. Our Lady may be calling you now.
The Contemplative Stations of the Cross audio devotional is now available from Patchwork Heart Ministry. This devotional features an introduction and overview of the theology, history, and spirituality of the Stations of the Cross by Father Bill Zimmer, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, along with an audio version of the Contemplative Stations of the Cross led by author Bill Snyder, and the Stabat Mater, chanted in Latin by Marissa Ellison. CDs are $7.99, and digital downloads are only $3.99. Copies may be purchased by visiting patchworkheart.org or calling
424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.
Hi, everybody. Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org.
Do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of Patchwork Heart Ministry? Follow our monthly blog, Written on Our Hearts. Simply go to patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com and click subscribe and follow the on-screen instructions. That's patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com, then click subscribe.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder. Today, my guest is Tony Agnese. He is a very inspirational storyteller, author, blogger, podcast host, and he's just telling us really about his life and about how the Lord has used him as an instrument and also healed him and just done some amazing things in his life. And right before the break, we were talking about Tony's health and diagnosis of cancer, and then being healed of hepatitis C. And really how that has moved him into ministry. And he left us off talking about homelessness. So I want you to kind of pick up there, Tony, and talk about your ministry and moving into homeless ministry.
Well, it's been a wonderful blessing. And I'll share one story with you. It's kind of a fun story. I go to Mass every day in the morning. And when I can't go in the morning, I go to a downtown church in the downtown Akron area in Akron, Ohio. And they have a Mass at 12:10, which is kind of cool because I can get in my car at noon. And literally every red light will turn green until I get there for the 12:10 Mass. And it's a rather large church and over 1,000 seats. And I walk into the church one day and there's somebody in my seat. Now, I'm one of those guys that I have my seat at church. And, 1,000 seats, why are you sitting in mine, And it was a young woman. I thought maybe a college student in there praying that her exam went well that day. But as I got closer, I went into the row that I would normally be at, and I realized that she was a homeless woman, young, probably in her late 20s, early 30s. And I knew she wasn't Catholic because when Mass started, she was kind of fumbling and didn't know what to do. I shared my hymnal with her and told her to sit still when I went to communion. And when I got back from communion, we sat and we smiled. And at the end of Mass, as I was getting up to leave, she stopped me and she said, "Can I share something with you?" And I go, "Well, of course you can." And she said, "I'm homeless and I have a fine to pay at the courthouse," which is right next door to the church. And she said, "I don't have the money to pay it." It was $50. And you see that woman down there, that elderly woman in the front row? When I all I had was a ticket to on the bus, and I took the bus downtown, and I walked from the bus station to the courthouse, and I saw this church. I hadn't been in a church much before. I was in church a few times when I was a little kid, but never since. And so I walked in to pray for a miracle. And that elderly woman saw me crying and praying, and she came to me and asked what was up. And she said, "I owe a fine of $50 to the courts next door, and I don't have the money." And the elderly woman pulled out her checkbook and wrote a check for $50. And she held up the check so proud to show me her miracle. And the elderly woman's name started with Judge. She was a judge in the court, retired. And I said, "That is fantastic. You got a miracle. That's so wonderful." And as I got up to leave, she stopped me again. And she said, "Tony, I haven't eaten in 3 days. I was wondering if you could help me." And it was one of those days, Bill, that I didn't have any money on me. My wife gave me a $20 allowance that week, and I had blown through it. And I knew that there was the university had a little cafeteria nearby, and they had an ATM machine. And I said, "Come walk with me." And we walked down the hill to the university's cafeteria, and the ATM machine just happened to be my bank. And So I went and I got her enough money for to eat and enough money for the day. And it was coming to the time that she had to report to the courthouse. And so I walked her back up the hill. And as we got to the top of the hill, she looked at me and she threw her arms around me and gave me the biggest hug. And she said, "You know, I walked into a church for the first time today, hoping for a miracle." And she said, "I never thought I would get two." And she walked away to the courthouse. And I've seen her at Mass a number of times since then. That was several years ago. And she is at Mass during the week, often at daily Mass at 12:10. Isn't that a great, great story of how the Lord works in people's lives? And just the thought of, you know, I'm going to walk into this church and pray for a miracle for someone who is unchurched, is just our Lord at his best.
Yeah, and, you know, I think there's so much need out there in the world. I think, you know, young people will try everything except for Jesus. You know, I think there's a aversion to that for whatever reason. And when somebody has faith like this woman, just to say, you know what, I'm totally lost. I need a miracle. God, if you're out there. And so if you're listening to this and you're listening to Tony tell these stories and you're feeling like that, you know, do one small, simple step of faith. You know, you might not believe, you might be struggling to believe, whatever it is, you know, take one small step toward that, crack the door this much, and God can step in and use people in their ministry, right? I mean, that's just it. He uses us to be his miracle workers, and so that's just an amazing amazing reminder for all of us, and those of you out there who might be struggling and trying to find your way, just take one small step in the right direction, and God will open up the doors.
You bet. There's a piece of art, it's a famous piece of art that shows Jesus at a doorway, and he's standing at the door and waiting. And you can tell he's been there a while because the weeds are high, and the painting is beautiful. But one thing you notice when you look at the painting is there's no doorknob on Jesus' side of the door. And the thing that it's saying is, if you want Jesus, you have to at least open the door, that one little small act that will crack the door. And if you do, he'll come in. And Jesus is carrying a lantern in his hand. And as you walk down the path, he's lighting your way. But we have to initiate that. You know, just like the prodigal son, when the prodigal son returned home, the father ran out to greet him. That's what Jesus does. When we make that small step that you talked about, Bill, that one little step of faith toward the Lord, he will rush to us to help us. And I think it's a lesson we all need to learn. You know, the statistics, Barna's study recently said 51% of millennials, people under the age of 30, when asked what their religious affiliation is, say none. And for someone like me, I find that just to be so disheartening, because the Lord has blessed me in so many ways, a cure for cancer, a cure for hepatitis C, pneumonia as a kid that I almost died, that the things that he has blessed me with by simply reaching out and say, "Lord, I can't deal with this on my own. Please, you know, please help me." And he does. There's a little prayer I say every morning, Bill, when I receive the Eucharist. And this is a prayer that you should never pray unless you mean it. And the prayer is this: "Lord, make me an instrument. Put somebody in front of me today that you can help through me. And I'm just going to put up my antenna, Lord, and you put somebody in my path today that you can help through me, and I'll do it." And let me tell you something, Bill. It happens almost every day. The Lord will put somebody in your path that just a smile, just a spoken word, just a shoulder to lean on, just anything. And it has been such a blessing. And the joy of doing that, the grace that flows to you from helping others, is remarkable. And You know, the other little prayer that was sent to me was, God, show me a sign that you exist, and he will show you signs all the time. Why did that homeless man's prescription cost $38 when my $93,000 prescription cost $38? Why did that happen? Is that a coincidence, or is that the Lord giving me a nudge,
right,
you know, saying, yes, I'm here. You just need to call on me.
Exactly. And Tony, I know that you also do a little bit of jail ministry as well, and you moved into that. You know, we only got a few minutes left, but, you know, want to just talk a little bit about the blessings of being with those who are in prison?
You know, it's amazing. I do in my 13th year of jail ministry, Bill, and I go in on Tuesday nights. They lock me in, and I'm there for 4 or 5 hours. A church a few weeks ago bought 50 copies of my book to sign for inmates. And I walked into a county jail and sat down and autographed books for inmates there. And, you know, what I'm finding is a great deal of the people that are in jail right now, not necessarily in prison, but in jail, are there on drug charges. And the drug charges are heroin charges. We have a tremendous heroin epidemic. And here in Ohio is kind of the epicenter of it. And these are not what you would think of as a heroin addict. These are just normal guys and girls, most of them in their 20s and 30s, who for whatever reason, you know, maybe they were a heavy equipment operator and hurt their back and were prescribed Oxycontin. And when the script ran out, they needed help and turned to heroin. But whatever reason, I go in there not to judge how they've gone through their problem, but to be in awe of what they've gone through. And to be able to share my books with them has been a real blessing, and I really appreciate the church that did that.
Fantastic, fantastic stuff. I want to make sure we let listeners know again about the book, because it is right at the heart of our ministry for sure. The title of the book is A Storyteller's Guide to Joyful Service, Turning Your Misery into Ministry, which is certainly what you've done with all of your stories in your life, Tony. But I also want to let you, you know, promote a little bit about the website, your, you know, speaking and all that stuff, because you have a wonderful ministry.
Yes, indeed. If they go to my website, it's tonyagnesi.com, TonyAgnesi, like Agnes with an I on the end, .com. Or they can go to findinggodsgrace.com, or they can go to astorytellersguide.com. It'll all take you to the same place. But every week I write a 750-word reflection, and they're always tied to Scripture. They always have some things to think about. And every Thursday, I'm on hiatus right now, but every Thursday we do what we call a snackable podcast. It's a podcast that you can listen to in under 5 minutes. And it's a story with a point to be made, and asking you to kind of reflect on. Those are delivered by email, so if you want to subscribe, you can go right to them and subscribe and start to receive them. And I do a thing called Daily Grace, where I write about those things that I come in contact with on a daily basis. My first book is for sale there. It's A Storyteller's Guide to a Grace-Filled Life. If you want God's grace to envelop you, there's an infinite amount of it. All you got to do is ask for it. And in the book, we talk about how we get that grace from family and friends and from living the virtues and so forth. A lot of stuff to see and do on the website. And I'd love to have you check it out. Spend some time there. TonyAgnesi.com is the address.
Tony, thank you so much for being with me today. I wish we had more time in the episode, but we'll have you back to tell more stories and to share more faith with us. I appreciate your time.
Bill, thank you so much, and God bless and your ministry at Patchwork Heart. I will be your ministry will be in my prayers as well, and just been a real pleasure being with you and sharing with your audience. I know it's a younger audience than me, but I share Jesus with anyone I can share Jesus with.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks again, Tony. This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org, email info@patchworkheart.org, or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.